Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
Welcome to another edition of the Better Together podcast. I'm your co-host, Rosario Picardo.
And I'm Callie Picardo.
And we're here again with Reverend Dr. Pete Bellini, who is a professor of evangelization at United Theological Seminary. And we've been in this series on spiritual warfare. And today we are going to talk about his new work, The X Manual. Dr. Bellini, Pete, welcome again to the Better Together
podcast. Thank you.
Podcast.
Thanks for having me, gang.
Well, last week we talked a lot about resisting evil personally, but sometimes we need help and we have others around us that need help. And some people have heard of this crazy out there term called exorcism. Some call it deliverance ministry, variety of words. It sounds kind of intimidating and scary, but Pete, it's help us. What do we do with this out there thing that is so far removed from most churches, but there are a lot of Christians out there who might need to know a little bit about what is deliverance ministry and how does that work?
Right. Well, maybe it's a good opportunity to share briefly on a couple books that I've published that help in that area. One book I published is called Unleashed. I published that a few years ago. And what it does, it's kind of an apologetic or a defense for, you know, the existence of these things. I mean, like we said, they seem far-fetched, seems fantastical. But we've touched on a lot in the last few podcasts that show people, you know, the reality of this. And we do have some realization that there's evil in the world. But, you know, what does the scripture say? And the scriptures talk about, a real devil, real temptation, real demonic spirits. And that could be overwhelming for some to think, wow, are they influencing me? What can I do? And we talked about how we shouldn't be afraid. Luke 10, 19 and 20 tell us we have power and authority over the devil and nothing shall ever harm us if we walk in Christ's authority. So we're not afraid of the devil. We have weapons against him. We know that he's already defeated by Christ on the cross. He's a defeated foe. Satan could only defeat and affect people who don't realize who they are in Christ and don't know that he's already been defeated on the cross. So I try to tell in the Unleashed book, I try to give them a biblical understanding of who the devil is, what he does. And I created an instrument, a spiritual psychological assessment called the C-113 that someone could take and answers a lot of questions. You answer a lot of questions about your personal life to see if you've had any degrees of influence of the devil in your life, and then what to do in terms of how do we deal with this if I feel I can't get free. And then the second book that I wrote after that, which is called The X Manual, and the subtitle is called Exousia, a Comprehensive Handbook on Deliverance and Exorcism. And the word exousia is the New Testament word for authority. So this is a book about our spiritual authority in Christ. And that's why I get the word X from X Manual. And what it is, it's a how-to. It's for training groups or individuals on how to pray for deliverance or exorcism for someone who is bound in an area. Maybe they're an alcoholic. They can't get free. Maybe they're bound in some other kind of addiction, like drugs or sex. There's some addictive chains that they can't seem to break, and they need to be set free. Maybe there's someone that's terrorized, filled with fear all the time. They have night terrors in their dreams. They're afraid to go into certain places. They walk in fear a lot. How do we pray for them? How can we pray deliverance for them? Maybe people have been in practices that they didn't think were bad, like, you know, tarot card reading or Ouija boards, or maybe watching some really evil, you know, movies that after much repetition have opened up a door in their mind, and they feel like, man, it's just, I'm thinking some weird thoughts. I had one time a parishioner of mine, she called me up and she says, I really need help. I feel embarrassed telling you this, but I need help. I'm having some horrible dreams. I'm even seeing things now in the day that are scary. I'm seeing like flashes of things that maybe seem like the devil trying to scare me. And I feel very tormented in my mind. I says, okay, let me come over your house. I'll pray for you. And I came over her house and I started praying. I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me to ask her a question. And I said, do you watch horror movies? And she says, yeah, my husband and I love them. We watch a ton of them. In fact, just watched one yesterday. I says, you're opening up the door. You're watching. If you watch evil so much, evil will start to get into your head or into your house. And so they were watching these movies that were opening up the door to things that were bringing torment to her life. She's starting to see the stuff in her dreams, in her wake state. She was terrified and she felt just her mind was very confused and full of depression and fear. And so I told her, well, why don't you try to lay off the movies for about a month? Tell me how it works for you. I'm going to pray for you. We'll rebuke those demonic spirits. Don't watch the movies. Let me know how it goes. So she did it and she was fine. She said all of those dreams and visions she had of demonic kind of grotesque figures and tormenting in her brain, all that stuff left her. So sometimes people are doing things they don't realize that the Bible says, you know, you may be opening up a door to this. You need to shut it. And you may need someone to pray for you, to pray deliverance, to break the power of that evil. Because a lot of times when we're in it, it's hard to get out of it. You could pray for others for something, but when it's you, it's harder because it involves you. You're the one that's chained. It's harder to get set free. So you need others to come and intercede for you. So my book, The X Manual, helps to prepare and train teams for deliverance ministry, what to do in a deliverance session, how to prepare someone before deliverance, how to follow up with them after deliverance. It has all of that. And then how to do the deliverance. So it's kind of a basic primer or handbook on how to do that sort of thing. And it's a standardization of it. What I mean is some churches do this while the other churches think it's kooky. Some of the churches that do it, though, can be extremist at times. They may think that everything's a devil. They may have some odd kind of practices, like you got to throw up in order for the demon to come out. And there's been a lot of malpractice and ignorance as a result of this. And so what I try to do is I base it off of the medical model and to create a standardization process for how to counsel and help people that may be having some of these problems.
Pete, I know people might need to, there's a lot in your book. That's why there's a whole book there. But are there just some beginning steps with that? Like to recognize when is deliverance needed? Like you mentioned, some people just go straight to deliverance every time. Others never go there because that's not a part of their church background experience. I mean, how do you know when deliverance ministry, deliverance prayers are needed?
Take the C-113. That's what I recommend. That's why I created it. Because what it does is, it filters through and it's a diagnostic, if you will. And so when like, for example, if you have a problem with your car, you know what I mean? A certain light popped up, the engine light popped up. Oh boy, gonna cost me a fortune. I'll take it to the mechanic. What does he do? He runs diagnostics on it. What diagnostics are is a kind of a process of elimination to see what it may be. Is it this? No, it's not that. Is it this? Is not that. Instead of jumping to first, it's a demon. It puts that last, if you will. It runs through psychological kind of assessments to see, is this a mental health issue? Is this an accountability issue? Is this something could be handled, you know, medically? It looks at all these other alternatives in diagnosing and eliminates the process. And at the end, ascertains the probability that this may be demonic. So it thoroughly combs through all of the other possibilities. And it's interdisciplinary, it's integrative in that sense. So it's working with the mental health field, it's working with the medical field, it's working with the church, seeing has church counseling work. Maybe you need a small group, maybe you need an accountability group, maybe you need an NA group or an AA group. This isn't necessarily you need a demon cast out of you, or maybe it's a combination of a few things. Maybe you do need some of this, some counseling in this, but you may need some prayer as well. So it's a very fine-tuned instrument, so that you're not just jumping to conclusions hastily. Oh, that's a demon. That's a demon. Everything's a demon. Again, I try to standardize it. So it's almost like when you fill out the C-113 in my book, it's like going to the doctor's office and you got the clipboard and do you have this? Do you have this symptom? Do you have a history of this? Do you have a history of that? Does your family have a history of heart issues? It literally looks like that.
That's awesome. And then, and it's so good to incorporate different fields, because I've seen some that shy away completely from the medical field or from acknowledging mental health issues, that some of which are generational or some of which are chemical imbalances in the brain. And sometimes it really truly is a medicinal thing, but sometimes there's the other too. I had a dear friend right after college who was in med school, and she, strong Christian friend of mine, and she was doing her residency in a mental health unit. And we had all these discussions of, is some of this demonic? Like, just because, like you said, sometimes there is a little crossover. So when you figure out, okay, this does seem to be demonic, where there is a need for deliverance ministry. Again, we're so excited that you've written the X manual to give some of these practical how-tos, but are there a couple like basic principles that could be shared with our listeners today?
For what? For either discerning or for taking through.
Once you've discerned and said, okay, we've gone through, we've done the assessment, the diagnostic, and gosh, this seems like we need to do some deliverance ministry. I mean, anyone do it, or do we need to call in the big guns like Dr. Pete Bellini to come do casting out the demons?
Right. I think you need to be trained. You need to be trained and sit as an apprentice under someone, because it involves people's lives. I've seen too much malpractice. I've seen too many people more obsessed with the devil aspect of it instead of looking at it. First, the primary, it's an act of worship. We're showing God, we're showing everyone that God is exalted over evil and that Jesus is going to triumph over evil in this person's life. So it's actually an act of worship, one. Two, it's an act of care towards a person. We got to think of the person. So like the Hippocratic Oath and the first rule of Methodism says, do no harm. So when you're trying to heal, a lot of times when we try to do good, we end up doing worse. We end up hurting when we're trying to heal. So we got to make sure we're doing no harm. Just like if you were an EMT and you got a call, you know, 911, my husband fell down, so we come down and get him. Well, don't move his body right away. You think you're trying to help him, but you could actually do harm. That happened to my brother when he had stepbrother. He had a heart attack, and the EMT came in and they picked him up and pulled him in a wrong way and pulled out all of his screws that were in his shoulder. He had a plate in his shoulder. So in trying to heal him, they did harm. So we got to make sure that we have people that are trained properly to do this, lest they fall into malpractice and hurt somebody who's already hurting and hurting him further. So you need to have people that are trained in this. That's why I created the manual. And what you do is I have a section there of how do you pick the right leaders to be in a deliverance team? What are you looking for in their character? You know, how do you pick the right people? For example, I don't look for personality traits that are, I look for personality traits that are something you'd see again in the medical field, like a nurse, someone who has those traits, caring, thoughtful, person, interpersonal, able to talk you through things, because we do that in the deliverance session. We let them know, now we're going to do this. Is it okay if we do this? Is it okay if we do this? We explain everything. Now, when I do this, this may happen. Just like the nurse says, you know, roll up your sleeve. Now, I'm going to prick you for just a second with this needle, and you may feel it hurting at first. And then they walk through everything with you. So I like the nursing, doctoral kind of medical sort of approach in terms of who we're looking for, as opposed to someone that thinks of deliverance as a demolition crew, or, you know, we're going to go in there and kill the devil, you know, like Rambo. We don't need weekend warriors, soldiers of misfortune. What we need is people who are very careful, can handle with care. So there's certain types of people we're looking for. So we prep them once we pick them, praying, fasting, training. But the person that's going to go through the deliverance, we give them the assessment of the C-113. We let them know the various areas that we're going to be praying for and the areas they need to repent of. And we give them instructions on how to pray, fast, and repent for these areas that we're going to be praying for prior to coming to the assessment.
How long do you, you know, is it a one-time event? Is it an ongoing 2-3 sessions? And how long? Because I've heard, you know, some of this stuff takes hours.
Right. It can. It depends. Yeah. Every case is different. It depends on what they're going through and where they're at in that journey. Just like anything else, just like recovery from alcohol or another addiction, or just like a physical ailment. You know, you could have someone come in and they get diagnosed with cancer, colon cancer, and they're stage one. Well, that's a 90 to 95% cure rate. Stage one colon cancer, you may not even need a resection or anything, get a surgery or something usually. And if you do, the recovery rate is quick and pretty high percentage. So it depends. Or then you get someone colon cancer stage five. Well, you're looking at a whole different animal. The recovery rate is a lot smaller percentage, takes a lot longer, a lot more medication, a lot more visits. You get what I'm saying? It depends on what the person's been going through in terms of how many sessions. And we let them know that. We take in consideration often too, when people go through deliverance, it's very tiring. It's very exhausting. And you can only do so much in one session. You may have to schedule other sessions. We try to be sensitive to the person above all. And it's not just, again, us going over to beat the devil up. We're caring for someone who's in desperate need.
Pete, with the talking about care, it ties a lot back to our theme for this podcast of Better Together. I mean, talk to us a little bit about how spiritual warfare, how deliverance ministry is a way for us to live as the body of Christ better together.
Well, I think the whole idea of better together is important for all of this. First of all, one of the devil's favorite strategies is to isolate people. Get them alone, not together, alone, and tell them you're the only one going through this. There's no one else going through what you're going through. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to feel horrible. There's no one like you. I wasn't going to church. The church is full of all good people. They squeak and when they sit down, they're so clean. That's not you. You know what you've been through. So he isolates them and makes them feel horrible because he knows that we're better together. He knows that if you have this issue, you may go to talk with someone who may have an answer, who may be able to help you or refer you to someone who can help you. Together, we can solve these problems. We have many resources together that we don't have individually. So the devil tries to isolate people. And so in that sense, we need the body of Christ. We need each other. We need accountability. We need fellowship. We need encouragement. We need to hear words from the pastor. We need to hear the resources that the church can offer. Oh, there's a small group for people like me. I thought I was the only one. Well, the devil was lying to you. You're better together. Also, a lot of the issues we're facing, especially big spiritual issues that are affecting our culture, they're too big for just any one of us to handle. I can rebuke the devil and say, Satan, leave in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And he's gone in my jurisdiction over my will. But I can't just say, spirit of poverty, leave today, right now. And it's gone. And all of a sudden, we have no more poverty or homelessness. I rebuke you. Be gone. It's territorially, jurisdictionally, it's a lot bigger than just that. We need the unity of the body of Christ to get past our differences and our disagreements and come together to be able to pray about and put collective hands together to try to work some of these bigger issues out in spiritual warfare. So we're always better together at whatever level we're dealing with this spiritual warfare, on an individual level or on a bigger corporate level. You know, one causes 100 to flight, two will cause 10,000 to flight. There's compound interest in our unity.
It makes me think of, I think, what did after the shooting in the Oregon district in Dayton, you called together a group of people to pray. I mean, tell us a little bit about that as it ties to spiritual warfare.
Right. Well, what I, you know, kind of when something like that happens, and y'all remember, you know, the shooting that occurred right before COVID hit, and it was in, I don't have the stats in front of me, it's 2018, 2019. And, to make a long story short, is this a mass shooting? And I felt led by God, because I felt helpless, like we often do in those situations. I felt the Lord tell me, go through the place where the shootings happened. In our area, it's called the Oregon District, and walk the path that the killer walked. I saw that in the news. They showed, you know, where the path where the killer went from his car to the bar and shooting people. Walk that path and pray over that path. Mm. Pray for redemption of the land. Pray for redemption of the city. Pray where that blood trail was. You could see where the blood spots were on the concrete. Pray for no more bloodshed. no more violence. Pray that we would come together to do what we need to do in the natural and in the spirit against this. So as I prayed, I did that myself. I heard the Lord say, now you need to do that corporately. Now you need to call together people, which we did. We had a prayer meeting at United. And after that prayer meeting, come back down to the Oregon District again with a group of people and pray for the cleansing of this this block, and the God's peace would fill it. And he said, call this prayer meeting the Dayton Prayer Shield, so that we together corporately would pray and that God would lift up a shield over our city to protect us from this kind of crazy gun violence, this crazy violence that erupted in our city. We never thought it would happen here, you know. So, and we did, and we prayed for that, and it was a blessing. And in fact, I had a word of knowledge, meaning God spoke to me at the end of that prayer walk, and he said, right now, have your prayer team intercede to that I would intervene, because right now there is a plan that someone is making to shoot up a school tomorrow. This was Sunday night. It's about like 9 o'clock, 9:15 at night. And I told the group this. They were pretty new at this kind of thing. So I'd explain, sometimes God can give us this knowledge and wisdom because God wants to prevent this stuff from happening. And we prayed it. And we prayed against a person securing a weapon. We prayed against a person who was making a plan, and that God would foil this plan to shoot up this school. And I told them after we're done praying, I says, listen, be paying attention to the news, because I guarantee you, you're going to see something in the news, because I know this was God that spoke to me. And in fact, the next morning, I saw in the news that in Oklahoma, in McAllister, Oklahoma, there was an attempt. A young lady, 18-year-old young lady, had secured an AK-47, and she was planning to shoot up her school on the graduation day, I think it was, of the local high school, 400 students. She said she wanted to shoot up the school. She claimed she got bullied there. And right around the time we were praying, the police got a tip because she showed some pictures of the gun to some of her colleagues that she worked with that night in a restaurant, and they called the police. Hmm. I put that on Facebook. Guys, look what happened. God answered our prayers. He dismantled this attempt to shoot up a school. And one of my friends, who's a spiritual son in the Lord, pastors the First Church of McAllister, United Methodist Church of McAllister, he said, dude, you don't know the half of it. That's my daughter's high school. Mm-hmm. And we've been praying. We felt led to pray the day before that Saturday. We felt led to pray for protection of the students. And then he said, a mutual friend of ours' daughter works with the girl that they caught and was the one that they showed the picture to, and she called the police.
Wow.
Look at how God will work. It's like God wants to use us and bring us together to pray against evil. It seems like God might want that.
And we can't do it on our own. We got to do it together.
Well, and we got to hear. And even if you don't hear like, oh, well, Dr. Bleen, I don't have this radar ear that you have for God. I don't care. Go into your newspaper and start praying for issues. Pray for the homelessness. Pray for the crime issues. Pray for these issues. You may not see results right away like I did, or you may. Put it in God's hand, though. Put it in God's hand. Let God handle it.
The beauty of the body of Christ, too. You were together with people. And sometimes you might not have that gift of knowledge, words of knowledge, or you might have different gifts. And the body of Christ together.
Someone else may.
Those gifts in different hearts. So I love we're better together.
We're better together.
To pray together and worship God together and also fight against evil together. And Pete, thank you for this today. I know there's some people that might want to dive deeper. And so you've got the book Unleashed, which I think you've described. That's kind of a good spot to start, especially if this is new for folks.
If it's new, maybe you want to start there.
And then the X manuals for those that are really ready for that next step that want to learn more about deliverance ministry.
Yep.
And then I know on July 19th, United's Bishop Bruce O. Innovation Center is going to have Dr. Pete Bellini on a webinar to dive deeper. So pay attention to that. You can go to the Innovation Center website, and that should be coming up soon. Also, Pete, you've found that more people are hungry for real training. So you've actually started an X seminar. Will you tell us briefly about that?
We're offering a seminar, a one-day seminar to train persons and to get them, give them a certificate of completion of the course. It's a seminar course. It'll be offered the first Friday in May, beginning in 23. So May 5th, 2023 will be the first X seminar. And most likely we'll do those every year, once a year, to train people in that. And the X manual will be the textbook for it. So we'll break it down and we'll give teaching on how to do it.
And that'll be offered through United Theological
Seminary. Yep. But you that'll be through United.
Getting a master's or doctoral
degree. No, it's for anybody.
Show up,
learn. And so be looking out for that if that's something that you want to dive deeper in.
Yes.
Thank you for getting these resources out to the church.
Thank you. Thank you for doing it too as well through the broadcast.
Well, friends, our listeners, thanks for tuning in, and we appreciate the support. And if you know somebody that would really want to dive into this topic, share this podcast with them. And until next time, remember, we are better together.